Well, good evening. It's lovely to see you in the house of the Lord once again. Let's take our hymn books, please. We're turning to the hymn 134. The hymn 134, the page is 230. Before the throne of God above, I have a strong, a perfect plea, a great high priest whose name is love, who ever lives and pleads for me. 134, we'll stand as we sing, please. To the Lord in prayer and seek His blessing, seek even His presence amongst us this night. Of course, we know the Lord is here, but may we know it personally. May we know that we are in the presence of God as we are found in His house tonight. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we bow in Thy presence and we thank Thee, O Lord, even for the one at Thy right hand. We thank Thee for the great High Priest. We praise Thee this night for the one who makes intercession even for us. We praise Thee for a praying Saviour. We praise Thee, O God, that He is one who is touched with the feeling of our infirmities. He was one who was tempted at all points as we are, and yet He is the one without sin. We thank Thee for our Advocate with the Father. We thank Thee this night as we bow before Thee. We have confidence in Christ. We have confidence this night to pray that we're not simply praying to man and we're not simply leaving words, as it were, hanging, but our prayers are heard in heaven because of the work of Jesus Christ. We thank Thee that He has presented His body and His blood. He has entered into the Holy of Holies on our behalf. We thank Thee for the blood that has been applied to the mercy seat. We thank Thee and praise Thee this night that it is a blood which speaketh better things than out of Abel's. And we praise Thee this night for the precious blood that cleanseth from all sin. We bow in Thy presence, and we do thank Thee for even the opportunity again to be here tonight. We thank Thee for Thy hand of mercy and of blessing upon us throughout today. We thank Thee and we praise Thee, O Lord, that Thou hast been near unto us. We thank Thee that Thou hast watched over us and Thou hast brought us safely again tonight. We pray that, Lord, that Thou wilt bless our time together. We pray that we truly will know that the Lord is here. We pray for the protection, that hedge to be round about us. O God, that this will be a time before Thee this night, when every mind and every heart will be fixed upon the Lord, not thinking about what has came to pass in a week gone by or what will come to pass in a week to come, but completely focused and fixed upon Christ. Lord, we ask Thee that Thou wilt bless in the singing. Bless as we read Thy word. What a blessing it is to have Thy word. What a blessing it is to carry Thy word, to know that it is the word of God, to have it in our own language that we might read it, that we might hear it even being preached. O Father, bless tonight the preaching of Thy word. Bless, O God, that time that we will spend even in the book of Genesis, or that Thou wilt teach us from Thy word, that not only will we be taught, but, O God, there will be that application to all of our hearts, that even in the days to come there will be that manna for us to feed upon, that word of encouragement, that word of warning, even for the week to come. But Lord, we think of those that are not saved. We pray, O Lord, that this will be the night, O God, whenever every obstacle, every barrier, every excuse, every reason not to get saved, they're all done away with. And this night that they will come, even as the Philippian jailer, what must I do to be saved? O God, Thou art able. We believe in the unending power of God. We believe that God's power has no start and no finish. There's no weakness in our God. Thou art able to do much more abundantly than we can ask or even think. And so, Lord, we leave ourselves in Thy hands. We pray, O Lord, as we pray for ourselves, we pray for every congregation where the gospel is faithfully preached tonight. We pray for every student, every minister, every lay preacher. We pray, O God, for each one that handles Thy word, that Thou wilt endue them with God, the Holy Ghost, that Thou wilt grant them power in the preaching forth of Thy word. O Lord, remember tonight this land. O God, we long for revival. We long for the reviving of Thy people. We long for the church, O God, to be set on fire for Thee again. We long for a visitation of God amongst Thy people, for that immense road experience within the church, that our hearts will burn within us. And, O Father, then that revival will spread into our communities. And, O God, we simply say with the psalmist, wilt Thou not revive us again, that Thy people may rejoice in Thee? Lord, turn us, we pray Thee. O God, cause Thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. Lord, we look to Thee and to Thee alone. Lord, break down the rebellious spirits. Break down the hardened hearts. And, O Father, we pray that Thou wilt break in the right hand and on the left, and many precious souls will be brought into the family of God. Lord, remember us tonight. Bless our sick. Bless, O God, those that mourn. Bless those of our elderly unable to join with us. We're mindful of each one. We pray that Thou wilt be very near unto them, that Thou wilt strengthen and encourage and uphold in these days. And we'll be careful to give Thee all of the praise and all of the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. 224 is our second hymn this evening, the hymn 224. Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb. 224, and again we'll stand as we sing, please. Singing. Well, let me just welcome each one in the Saviour's name tonight. It's lovely to see you gathered with us in the Lord's house on this evening time of the Lord's Day. We do want to thank you indeed for coming, and we do pray that the Lord will bless us and the Lord will be with us and presence Himself amongst us as we're here this evening. To those that are visiting, we give you a special welcome, and may the Lord bless you as you're with us even this evening. Do remember, immediately after the service this evening, there is the first practice for the Christmas program. And if you'd like to be involved in that and be part of it, then please go up to the prayer room after the evening service. Also, for those ladies that are part of Team 1 for the catering, if you could meet with Valerie immediately afterwards as well. We mentioned too this morning, and we do so again this evening, the parent toddlers at this time is postponed. But if we could meet with the ladies tomorrow morning at 10:30, those that have been involved in this work amongst the parent and toddlers, we really do appreciate all of the time that you give over these weeks and the sacrifice of your time and your energy even in relation to that work. But we'd like to meet with you just tomorrow morning at 10:30 if you can come for a brief time, please. The Awana continues tomorrow night at 6:45, and then the Tuesday night children's meeting then at 7 p.m. Continue to uphold these works amongst the boys and girls, that the Lord will continue His blessing upon them, that even more children will be gathered in, and taught the things of God, and even early in life brought to saving faith in Christ. Wednesday evening we meet for Bible study and for prayer at 8 p.m. and in the will of the Lord I'll be here to conduct that meeting. We do look for you and encourage you to come as often as possibly you can. Do endeavour to be here on the Wednesday evenings as we continue to study through the 12 disciples, and of course bringing the work of God before the Lord in prayer. It's a very important practice of the church to gather together to pray and to seek the Lord's face and the Lord's blessing, to pray for loved ones, and to pray for our community, and to pray for the Lord's blessing and for souls to be saved. So do continue to make that effort, even to be found in the house of God on the Wednesdays. Friday night is presbytery, and this particular month it is in Ballygowan. And we do remind all of the members of committee and session, if you can be here, certainly be here for the examination of our church. And as we mentioned this morning, if all of the members that are able to come on Wednesday evening can remain just for a couple of moments afterwards, just to prepare the church here and to go through the various mics and different things in relation to a Friday night. Youth Reach is on Saturday night at 7:30, and it's open to all of the children and young people from P7 and upwards, even to go along and to have that time on Saturday evening. Service is next Sunday, all at the regular times, the Sabbath school, the Bible class, 10 a.m. and in the regular times of worship, 11:30 and 7 p.m. and the seasons of prayer before both of those meetings. And in the will of the Lord, I'll be here in the morning time to conduct that service. And next Sunday night will be a special family and friends meeting, and kicking off the month of December with a testimony. And I've asked Alex if she would come and bring a word of testimony of how the Lord saved her, and how the Lord even undertook and kept her in her life. And so do let others know even about it. And the Reverend Greenfield will be along to minister in song. And as we said, there is supper afterwards as well. We're planning, in the will of the Lord, to have special meetings throughout the month of December. Next week with the testimony, then on the 10th, our youth, our young people will be taking part in the evening. And the 17th will be the Christmas program in the evening time. And the 24th, Christmas Eve, the Sabbath school and Bible class will be taking part in the morning. And then the 31st, in the evening time, will be a praise service. And finishing the year off again with some fellowship after the evening meeting. So do remember all of these efforts, all of these special meetings throughout the month of December. Do let others know about them. Even if you can share them on Facebook or go round and knock people's door, whatever means you can use, certainly do use them in these days to reach the lost for Jesus Christ. Remember, of course, the calendars. We mentioned to you again, if you haven't yet got yours and you'd like one, or two or three, do take them in the front porch, put your name down, and then in the days to come, do see our brother James. Continue to remember the sick. Both Robert and Una continue to be in hospital, and do pray that the Lord will be near on to them. The Lord will touch them and just undertake for all of their needs at this time. And those others in our congregation that have been at home and needing the prayers of God's people, needing the touch of the Lord, do pray for them. And we think even of Betty as well. Continue to uphold her, that the Lord will strengthen her and be unto her all that she would need in these days. We just heard this afternoon about the passing of Brian McCloy's stepmother. And we do, as a congregation, extend our Christian love and sympathy to Brian. And we do pray that the Lord will sustain and will comfort the McCloy family at this time. She passed away and was buried last Friday, as I say, just heard this afternoon. So we do, as a congregation, certainly extend our sympathy to him and to the family at this time. Do remember, I think I omitted to say, but next Sunday is also Building Fund. And if you have any gifts towards the building fund of the church, then please leave them in next Sunday. 273, as we lift our tithes and offerings this evening, the hymn 273, the pages 286, I hear thy welcome voice that calls me, Lord, to thee, for cleansing in thy precious blood that flowed on Calvary. 273, let's remain seated for the first part of the hymn, please. Thank you. Abraham, please. Was one of the easiest hymns to translate into Welsh Gaelic. And so during the Welsh revival, they took that hymn and they translated it. And it was sang up and down Wales, the hills and in the valleys. And all of the time of blessing, this hymn was sang over and over again. All hail redeeming blood. And what wonderful words of testimony. What wonderful words even for a sinner to say, I am coming, Lord. Coming now to Thee. Wash me. Cleanse me in the blood that flowed on Calvary. There's no greater words for a non-saved individual to say than to say, I'm coming to You, Lord. Because that's what the Lord desires. He says, come. Come unto Me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden. I'll give you rest. And even if you don't know the Lord, may you come tonight. Put your trust in Him. Let's read the opening verses. Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. Realistically, we could just read the opening half verse, verse 1, because that's all we're going to get covered tonight. But we'll take the time to read the opening 7 verses. Genesis 3, the verse 1, it says, Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened. And ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. Amen. May the Lord bless His word to all of our hearts. That opening few lines of verse 1 brings us to consider the God of this world, the God of this world. Let's just ask the Lord to speak to us, even as we're here before Him this evening. Father, we do come to Thee at this time, and we just pray for that stillness, that Thou wilt still our minds. O God, that Thou wilt center and focus our minds upon the things of God, upon Thy precious Word. Lord, we acknowledge this night as we come to this, even to this passage, this whole chapter. Lord, who are we to even seek to delve into it? But, O God, we look to Thee for help. We look to Thee for the enlightenment of the Holy Spirit. We pray, O God, that Thou wilt come and speak to us and teach us. And, O God, strive with us, work within us, change us, even by Thy Word. And above all, glorify Christ. Hear and answer prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. We come this evening to begin to consider a very important chapter within all of Scripture. Indeed, it has been said that if Genesis chapter 3 were not in the Bible, there would be no Bible as we know it. And how true that is. Because if Adam had never fell, the Scriptures would have been so different. Everything that you find within the Scriptures would have been completely different to what we have. If Adam had never fell, then there would never have been sin. There would never have been sorrow. You would never read of wickedness. You would never read of wantonness. You would never read of famine. You would never read of wars and rumors of wars. You would never read of nation rising up against nation. You would never read of massacres. You would never read of anything at all that is against God and against His Word. There would be no disasters. There would be no diseases. There would be no death. There would be no decay. Indeed, you take Genesis chapter 3 out of the Bible and imagine for a moment it never happened. Then you would never read of the Israelites going down into Egypt. You would never read of slavery. You would never read of the 40 years of wandering. You would never read of the campaign to rid the land and the Canaanites of all of the people of Canaan because of their wickedness in causing their own children to pass through fire. You would never read of a need for judges to be raised up to judge the people of Israel. You would never read of kings. You would never read of captivity. You would never read of Babylon. You would never read of the Lord coming down and being incarnated. You would never read of the life of the Lord upon this earth, and you would never read of the cross. All of those things took place because of Genesis chapter 3. You think of the miseries that you experience and I experience in life. Times of sickness, times of sadness, times of separation. Those words would never have been in our vocabulary or our understanding. Genesis 3 did happen. It's important to say that. What you read in Genesis chapter 3 is not a fable and is not a fairy tale. It actually happened. Adam actually did fall. Sin really did come into this world, and death by sin, and death did pass upon all men in that all have sinned. This account in Genesis 3 was a fairy tale or a fable, then our faith is a fable. And our faith is a fairy tale. If Genesis 3 is a fairy tale or a fable, then Christ died for a fairy tale. And I don't believe that for one second. Christ did not die for a fairy tale. And our faith is not a fable. Christ died for our sin. You see, my friend, sin is real. Eternal death is real. The necessity of salvation is real. So too is the devil real. He isn't simply someone who has red horns and a tail and a pitchfork. He isn't some cartoon fictional character. The devil is real. He is described by the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 4 and the verse 4 as the god of this world. Now I have to be honest with you, as I said this morning, when I enter into chapter 3, I started to look for the different breaks in the chapter, started to look at carving up the chapter, how many verses each week will we look at. It was like a deer in headlights. There is just so much here before us. I started to think to myself, well, how am I going to break this up? How am I going to go through all of this chapter? Because there's so many different lines of thought. There's so many different doctrines are being presented to us. There's so many actual things that need to be dealt with within this chapter. And I just came to the conclusion, well, start at the beginning. Chapter 3, verse 1. Let's deal with the devil. You know, there are some people who don't like or even approve of sermons on the devil. To that I say, we do not preach the devil to glorify the devil or to elevate the devil. But we do need to understand him. As best as we can. I remember preaching here in the month of January after the week of prayer, and I preached on the great adversary of every child of God. The Bible does speak of the devil. The Bible does warn us about him. Yea, I believe even in the book of beginnings, the very first book of Scripture, and yet chapter 3, we're introduced to the devil. I believe God would have us to know who the devil is. To warn us of him. To educate us as to what his motives, what his practice is. Now sometimes people will have questions about the devil that the Bible does not give the answers to. Sometimes thoughts will come into people's head and will say, well, what about this and that about the devil? And I say this very simply, if God has not revealed it to us in Scripture, then it's not something for you to spend your time and your energy on. Everything that we need for life is in this book. Every answer we need to know is found within these pages. So who is the devil? What does Scripture teach us about him? Well, there are two things I want to leave with you this evening. I want you to see, firstly, the coming of the devil. The coming of the devil. The verse 1, it says, the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. It is the first mention of the devil in Scripture. There he is coming to the woman in the Garden of Eden. And so the obvious question is, whenever you read Genesis 3 and the verse 1 and it tells you about the subtlety of the devil and the subtlety of the serpent, then you have to ask the question, well, where did he come from? What do we know about him? Well, as you go through Scripture, there are a number of passages which teach us of his origin. The devil was a created being. But he was not an earthly being, he was a heavenly being. Two passages I encourage you to turn to with me, Isaiah 14 and also Ezekiel 28. Thank God that we've more than two fingers. So keep one finger in Genesis 3 and then come over to Isaiah 14 and then also Ezekiel 28. Because these are two passages which really present and teach us much of who the devil is. Isaiah 14, in the first instance, you look at the verse 12. It says, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, Son of the Morning. How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the earth. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Very quickly within this passage, it teaches us that the devil, Lucifer, in heaven was a very special angel. He was the day star. Keep your finger in then in Isaiah 14 and also then come over to Ezekiel 28. And over in Ezekiel 28, these verses, in particular from verse 13 and onwards, verse number 12, it begins the lamentation and the prophecy of Ezekiel. It does mention about the king of Tyrus. You see that in the verse number 12. But whenever you come into verse 13, it's going past the king of Tyrus. And what is before us is speaking of the devil. Because in Ezekiel 28, in the verse 13, it says, thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardis, the topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, the carbuncle, and the gold. Verse 14, thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. Verse 17. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay before thee kings, that thou may behold thee. Thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries by the multitude of thine iniquities, by the iniquity of thy traffic. Therefore will I bring forth a fire from the midst of thee, and it shall devour thee. I will bring thee to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all them that behold thee. What is said here goes far past the king of Tyre. Speaking of the devil, what was the devil like in heaven? Verse 14, he's an anointed cherub. Verse 15, he was perfect in all his ways. Verse 14, he was near to God. It tells us he's the cherub that covereth. In other words, he was right up at the throne. He was an angel that was created to be near to God. The standing of Lucifer in heaven was great. But sadly, it didn't stay that way. He sinned and he fell. And such was the fall of Satan, both in its speed and in its ferocity, that the Lord Jesus himself, he likened it to a lightning bolt. Because it tells us in Luke 10 and verse 18, the Lord speaking, he says, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. What was it that caused Lucifer to sin? What was it that caused the devil to fall? After all, the Lord had created him perfect, just like all of the heavenly hosts, it's all perfect. And all of the earthly hosts, it's all perfect. God saw that it was good. What caused Satan, what caused the devil to sin? The Lord had created him perfect, bestowed upon him honor, responsibility. Why did he fall? Why did he turn? I believe you can reduce it down to one word. Pride. Pride. We don't know how long after creation in heaven that Lucifer's heart was lifted up. Ezekiel 28, the verse 17, it says, thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. So there was a devil. There was Lucifer in heaven. The bright star, the day star in heaven, and all of his beauty. And his heart was lifted up. He was filled with self-importance and self-indulgence. The more he looked upon himself, the greater the pride grew. And it came to the point where it's recorded, Isaiah 14 and verse 14, the words of the devil, I will ascend upon the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. In other words, I won't simply be a created being. I will be as God. I will be the same as my Creator. You think of it. The devil believed himself to be in the same level of God, a created being, and yet equal to the Creator. You know, Revelation 12 and verse 9, it says, the devil, Satan, deceiveth the whole world. He holds a name as being the greatest deceiver. So great is his deception, he even deceived himself. The more he looked at self, the more puffed up with pride, the more he believed, I am as God. The greatest deceiver deceived himself. You know, surely that deception has spread throughout this world. You study mankind. Man believes himself today to be as God. Man believes himself to be on par with God. Yea, there are some men who believe themselves even to have elevated themselves past God. That they are now greater than God. That they are now wiser, more capable than God. Some that believe in evolution then go down and take it to this end goal that we have now evolved past God. We're self-sustaining. Self-evolving is what they'll say. Our intelligence, our understanding today is greater than any other generation. And so we can decide in life and in death. We can decide in ethics and morality. We can decide how to govern and how to rule. We can look into the future and we can see and we can understand, right? We know where we're going because we're so intelligent. That's the pride of man. A great problem. It was a great problem that the devil had, and it's a great problem that man has. John Blanchard, he says, pride is the oldest sin in the universe, and it shows no signs of growing weaker. What do we have today? We have belief in self. Elevate self. Don't let anyone put you down. Don't let anyone say anything negative about you. It's pride. I get in and out of schools. I'm thankful for the opportunities. But I look at children today and I listen to teachers talking to children in school today, and I think back to whenever I was at school. The way teachers talk to children now, and they never talk to me like that in school. If I was wrong in school, they told me I was wrong. They made it very clear to me I was wrong. You won't hear a teacher telling a child today they're wrong. I remember being handed back homework with the big red pen right through both sides of it. I sometimes wonder, do teachers still have red pens? Maybe a light wee pencil. I listen as children come in and out of classrooms and teachers are encouraging them, non-uniform, to, oh, you just look lovely, see that you're so, that's a lovely pair of shoes, yeah. They'll never say one negative thing. Sports day comes, nobody loses. Everybody's a winner. Yes, you might be 10 laps behind everybody else, but you really did try, and it's all about that. You'll never hear anyone putting anyone down today. You'll never hear the negative. build everybody up. Only speak positive. Let individuals keep growing in their belief of themselves that I am good, I am great. And so that breeds through individuals. I am good enough. Surely I'm okay to get to heaven because I'm good enough. Yeah, even the mentality creeps in, oh, the Lord will want me in heaven. Individuals pass away, surely the Lord, they were just a great character, a great individual, surely the Lord will want them in heaven. Why? Because of who they are. You know, that pride in Satan spread throughout the world. God hates pride. You study, and we'll come to it, Sodom and Gomorrah. You might think Sodom and Gomorrah was condemned. The fire and brimstone fell upon it because of the lives, the practices, the actions that they were involved in. No, the primary reason was pride. God hates pride. That pride in Satan led not only to his own fallacy and his fall from heaven, but it also led to a ferocity against mankind. I don't know if you ever understood this, especially unsaved, but the devil hates you. The devil hates all of us. You see, as we mentioned earlier, the devil's desire as he looked upon himself was, I will ascend unto the Most High. In other words, I will be as God. And yet it tells us, Genesis 1, 26, God said, let us make man in our image, not the angels. Let us make man in our image, after our likeness. The pride of the devil, you just imagine that. The devil looked at himself, I am so beautiful, I am so wonderful, I am so great. Surely I am as God. And then he hears God say, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. The pride of the devil is greatly wounded. So he set himself not only against God, but the devil set himself against all mankind. That's why when you come to Genesis 3, the serpent's coming to the woman. He doesn't go after any other animal. He comes straight for mankind. Unsaved, understand this tonight. The devil is your master, yes, but he's not your friend. He has no care or compassion for you. He is against you. He desires to harm you. He desires to hurt you. He desires to destroy you. That's the devil's desire for every single individual that's ever born, to destroy them. That's who the devil is. That's why the devil came. Whenever he was cast out of heaven, he came especially, specifically, immediately against mankind. There's not one individual that the devil loves. He hates them all. There's a coming of the devil. But then secondly, and finally this evening, I want you to see with me the character of the devil. The character of the devil. Because Genesis 3 and the verse 1 tells us the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field. You go through all of Scripture, and there are many different names that are employed and used to describe the devil, and each one of them reveals to us something more of his character. Genesis 3 verse 1, the subtlety of the serpent. In Matthew 4 and verse 10, the Lord Jesus calls him Satan. It's a term that's used 36 times in the New Testament scriptures. It means the accuser. Ephesians 4 and 27, he's called the devil. It's a term that's used 38 times. It means slanderer. Matthew 13, verse 9, the Lord speaking of the devil, he calls him the wicked one. John 8, 44, the Lord again speaking describes the devil as being a murderer from the beginning and the father of lies. John 14, verse 30, he's the prince of this world. 2 Corinthians 4 and 4, he's the god of this world. Isaiah 14 and 12, he's Lucifer. Ephesians 2 and 2, he's the prince of the power of the air. Matthew 4 and verse 3, he's a tempter. Revelation 12 and verse 10, he's the accuser of the brethren. Revelation 12 and verse 9, he's the dragon. He's also referred to as Beelzebub, that means the lord of the flies. He is Belial, that means he is wickedness. In Revelation, you'll read of Apollyon and Abaddon. All names that are given, all titles that are given. And Peter, he's described as a roaring lion. All of the titles bring us to the character of the devil. That he is a murderer. He is a liar. He is a tormentor. He is a tempter. He is cunning. And he is capable. He has power, but he is not God. He has greater knowledge and understanding than we, but he is not infinite. You know, I'm struck by the fact, we read it earlier, the devil's great desire was to ascend upon the Most High and to become as God. And yet each and every one of his names, his characteristics, show very clearly he is completely the opposite to who God is. He is the serpent. Christ is our Savior. He is the liar. God is truth. He is the accuser. God is the comforter. He is the deceiver. God is the deliverer. He is the prince of the world. God is the prince of peace. He is the God of the world. Our God is the King of kings. And he's the Lord of lords. He is Belial, wickedness. Our God is the God of all grace. He is the murderer. Our God is the giver of life. He is the dragon. Our God is the Lamb of God. He is the roaring lion. Jesus Christ is the Lion of Judah. What a difference there is between the devil and the God of heaven and of earth. And yet tonight I close with this. Because whether you like to admit it or not, you have a master. You cannot serve two masters, you serve one. And your master is either the devil, or your master is the Lord Jesus Christ. You're either surrounded by wickedness, or you're surrounded by grace. You're either serving one who loathes you, and seeks to destroy you, and seeks to see you cast into hell, or you serve one who loves you, has delivered you, and seeks to have you in heaven with him. I leave you with the words of Joshua. At the end of his life, in Joshua 24, verse 15. As Joshua says to the people, choose you this day whom ye will serve. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You are serving either the devil or you're serving the Lord. When each one of us was born, we immediately were a servant to the devil. Born in sin, shackled to sin, unable to do anything but sin. Enemies of God, transgressors against the law, master is the devil over us. And yet by grace, by the Lord Jesus Christ, those shackles can be removed. Your master and your allegiance can change. I thank God personally that my allegiance changed. Once I was a servant and a slave to the devil. Once I hated God. But now, as the Apostle Paul says in Ephesians 6:6, I am a servant of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. What about you? Who do you serve? Who is your God? Is it the God of this world? The devil? Or is it the Lord Jesus Christ? You do serve one. My friend, tonight I plead with you. May it be Christ. May he be your master. May he be your Lord. Don't leave tonight still a servant of the devil. Come to the one who can. The one who will save. Let's have a word of prayer as we close. Heavenly Father, we thank thee this night that where sin abounds, grace doth yet more abound. We thank thee, O God, this night for even what thou hast revealed to us in Scripture as to who the devil is. Father, we pray this night, if there be one amongst us or even listening online that is still under the mastery and is still a slave of the devil, that this night their shackles will be removed, that they will come to thee. O Father, have mercy, we pray thee. May pride, may rebellion not stand in the way. May the devil not have victories in this meeting tonight. But, O God, that Christ this night will draw all men unto himself. Hear and answer prayer. Bless us as we separate one from the other. Take us to your homes in safety. Bless all of the work of this church in the week to come. Bless thy people. In Jesus' name. Amen.